Good morning, church. I cannot tell you what a blessing it is to be at Spring Meadows. For me as a minister, for me as a husband and as a man in this congregation, for me as a father helping and trying to raise kids in the Lord, there are a multitude of blessings that are part of my life. As a minister with elders like we have here, with our shepherds that are the kind of men that truly care about the souls of people in this room, it is a blessing. It's a blessing to have a song leader that leads us not only into the throne room of God, which it's not an only thing, that is the thing, but as a secondary, it's also always leading us into the topic of our study. And what a blessing that is for men like Mike and Jacob that led our thoughts this morning. Eric sent me a text and he said, it doesn't even have to be anything else today. And I don't know if he just didn't want to hear me preach or if he's just needing to get home early. But it was powerful. I agree. Today we're wanting to study and think a little bit about that topic of serve one another. And I don't know if, as we think about, yes, everything that we are talking about applies from the church to others outside, to the world outside, to people that we need to be helping that don't know the Lord so they can come to know the Lord. But when Paul is writing, and we read most of these one another's, even from the lips of Jesus, it's generally spoken to you guys, to each other in this room. It's how do we one another as the church? How do we love one another, accept one another? How do we care for one another, host one another? How do we be those things to one another in the body of Christ? And so I hope that'll be something is that you'll kind of be turning your mind over as we head on. Some great pictures. Oh, what a great prayer, answered to prayers with Shay. Praise God for that. Of course, Mary's in the back. I just thought y'all tell her picture was up. This little guy is one of our SMAs and one of our sweet grandbabies from here at church. And if you guys have been at SMA, some of you know the joy of taking home Miss Kara's giraffe. And his name's Gerald, and just little Noah, he was all over it. And this, speaking of joys, if you'll notice, you've got the checkerboards on the right and a granddad and a grandchild, and then on the left you've got this Alabama hat, and it's on the side, and a beautiful grandmother and a sweet grandchild. And so, and by the way, Greg, keep hitting the gym, baby. Looking good. All right. So, speaking of gyms, look at this guy won another gold medal. And there's the gym that I usually hit. It's a fellowship meal. Nice job, James. And then this. All right. You know, we got Wonder Makers and we got all these people that do these planning trips and stuff. And well, that's one of our sisters on the left and Jenny. But then we had a birthday party, and they put some birthday hats on Miss Penny. And I told her, I said, that kind of looks like a Disney character. I think you guys might need to get together and work on a project. But I thought that was pretty cute. Anyway, serve one another. Where do we start today? Well, I think we start with some of the obvious things. I can remember a time when, and I hope you don't get dizzy, I didn't know it would just keep doing that back and forth. I remember a time when we were trying to recognize service in the school where I worked, and it was kind of a weekly thing where you would get caught doing something, and it was like the trophy was during whatever chapel or meeting, it'd be like, hey, and I want to tell you about this, and this is what happened this week, and you know, here's Nathan, and here's what he did. Nathan, here's your serve, and they throw him a tennis ball. And it was like, that was kind of the deal. But throughout Scripture, we're taught to serve one another. I want to start with 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. We're going to look at several passages today as we think through this subject and this topic, because it is throughout Scripture. At the heart of all of this, again, from the cross of Jesus, I want you to imagine all of the one another's essentially flow from the cross. John 3:16, we love one another because He first loved us. Where do we see God's love for us given? For God so loved the world that He gave. So at the cross, you see how we're to love one another. At the cross, you see an invitation to be accepted. You see, I have paid the price. The price is paid. Now, will you come? Because my arms are open and I accept you. Now, at the cross, I believe we see Jesus serving us in a way that no one else could. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to begin just a little before what I've noted up there, because he's saying, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Now that's a fun statement, because wherever you go, and especially in times and seasons like we're in, you're going to hear somebody talking about the end of times, the end of times, oh, the end of time. Here's the reality. Ever since Jesus was on this earth, the end has been near. That's the reality. There have been seasons and epochs and times in which we saw things happening and we have wondered, is it this? Could it get any worse? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Lord. I mean, we're kind of, you know. And he says the end is near. Jesus, listen, if somebody is telling you they know when Jesus is coming back, you can just kind of turn the switch off. Because the Scripture says that Jesus, as the Son of God, the one who is going to be on the train coming back, doesn't even know yet. And so Peter is writing in the sense of saying, I want to remind you, He is coming back. And though we don't know the exact time, we know that it is an exact fact. He is coming back. And so he says, the end is near. Therefore, be alert and be sober-minded so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, that's a great statement to me. Sometimes you wonder why Christians can accept. You wonder why brothers and sisters in the family of God can move beyond certain things that have happened in the past. I think this is it. The key ingredient is love. And when he says that we love one another, we love each other so deeply that the love trumps the past, the mistake, the thing that we've brought to the foot of the cross and said, Lord, forgive me of this. And if God's forgiven you, I've forgiven you, and let's move forward. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Number 9, offer hospitality to one another. Jacob's lesson a few weeks ago, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. All right, that's key. Don't grumble about it. Do it and just love it. All right. And then verse 10, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. I want you to think about that. It doesn't say if you received a gift, use it. It says each one of you as you have received a gift. All right. You are each one uniquely gifted in some way by God to serve others. You say, well, I'm not this or I'm not that. Well, let me ask you, what are you? Have you identified that? Have you looked at that and seen the thing that you are gifted with, that you have abilities in, that you can serve others with? And somebody, I'm not that gifted. You know, look, it's there. Find your gift and find a way to use it to bless someone else. If it's just listening to someone, if it's offering the insights of your many years of life, share that with someone. If it's the gift of, I can't get out and go and do anything, if it's the gift of encouraging someone with a card or calling someone and saying, hey, look, I want you to know I'm praying for you. There is a way that you can use the gifts that you have to serve other people. And so he says, as you have received, each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards. It's like part of your stewardship. God entrusts you with the ability to use that you have. Those abilities, those gifts, he's entrusted with. Now use it wisely. Do you remember, I think about the phrase servant and serving, and my mind goes back to the parable of the talents where Jesus is telling about the master leaving the talents or leaving those. Sometimes we look at that as ability. It was really a unit of money that he was entrusting them with, but he's still saying be stewards. And to the five, he came back and he found the five, he had gained five more, and the other had gained more, and then the third had dug his and was, maybe he was ashamed. I don't have all that they have, and so I'm just going to bury mine in the ground. And the one who did that was a disappointment to the master. He was cast out. But to the other two, he used this phrase. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, we're talking about serving one another. And part of being good stewards is using the gifts that we've been given to serve one another. Look at Galatians 5 very quickly. Galatians 5, we are familiar with Galatians 5 because the fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. And I love it. If you get a chance, Colby, wave your hand, Colby. Listen to his video this morning of his, how old's Mina? 2 years old, and she's in the bath and she's singing the, what? You know, and she's singing the banana song, you know, so it's a blessing to you, I promise. Galatians 5, verse 13 and following. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in the keeping of this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." You see, Paul continues here in the midst of some conflict, this Jewish and Gentile, this racial issue that was going on back and forth in the church and the keeping of law and the not keeping of law and what you, back and forth they were going, and he goes, wait a minute. Serve one another. Love one another. He says, you're called to be free from that law, that this rule keeping things that you've done. This is about freedom, but then don't use the freedom that you've been given in Christ to abuse the grace that you've been given just because we're not under the law. He said, don't do that. But then to follow that up with the statement, verse 13 and 14, "And you serve one another humbly in love." And so I love that picture. I love that imagery that here before he talks about the works of the flesh and those things that can be an abuse of God's grace. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, those things that should be growing from us, that love and joy, and those things that we exhibit as we live out faith. But he says, I think you're going to see that when you're doing it humbly and with love and you're serving other people. Last in Galatians 6 and verse 7 and 8. When you come to this text, Paul again is kind of ending that text, and we've read this and studied this, but obey those, he's talking about your masters. He's talking about those that in our culture, obviously there was a different thing happening in that day and age, but in our culture, it's those who have some sort of rule over you. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a supervisor, maybe it's someone that they're your parents. But he says, there's just obey them, not just to win favor when their eyes are on you, but as servants of the Lord, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. So when you serve others, I want you to kind of look at it and set it in your mind that, hey, it's like we're serving the Lord. And not only it's like we're serving the Lord, we need to learn to serve like the Lord. Do you remember what Mark would write in Mark chapter 10? And this is one of those same passages as Jacob shared this morning, thinking about Jesus. Here is Jesus, the ultimate model servant. And what do we learn of him? And here you've got James and John wanting to sit on the high thrones beside Jesus when he comes in his kingdom. they don't understand what's going on yet. And Jesus is talking to them and teaching them about, you know, servants, service. Jesus called them all together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. You know that those who are regarded as, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must first be your servant. You see, Jesus says in the kingdom of God, it's actually flipped upside down. He said, those who are the greatest are not the ones who are sitting around having everybody else serve them. Those who are great in the eyes of God are those who are willing to serve others. For the Son of Man, verse 45, for even the Son of Man, our model, our rabbi, the one that we are disciples following behind, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He modeled it there before his death when he washed the disciples' feet. Even Judas's feet, he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus was a model of what it means to serve one another. You know, the gospel is about love. It is about acceptance, but it's also about service. I want you to look at Titus for just a moment. And the book of Titus is Paul writing a letter to this young person in the faith and kind of encouraging his ministry. And one of the things that I see, there are so many things, but if you will, that's why I just put the two chapters. I just want to touch base on some stuff. Because I think we catch a glimpse of the gospel when we say, again, at the beginning I said, every one of these, I believe the one and others are exhibited at the cross of Christ. I think Jesus modeled them for us in his very sacrifice. And when you look at Titus chapter 2 and chapter 3, there is a lot of, hey, this is what the gospel is. I think sometimes when we preach on a topic, it's easy just to talk about service and doing things for other people, without backing up and seeing, we're doing this because Jesus did this. We're living out service because he was the ultimate example of service. That the gospel in and of itself, the cross and his sacrifice, that was a service to other people. And when you look at verse number 11 is where I want you to, in chapter 2, he says it this way, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. You know, there was a belief that said there are only a certain number of people that God's chosen and that if you weren't in that number, you weren't. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible's pretty clear that this is an offer to everyone. If you have life and breath in your body and in your bones, you can still become a child of God. This is an open invitation to those that are willing to accept what God has given us in Jesus, to those who are willing to surrender their lives and obey and follow Him. For the grace of God has appeared that brings salvation to all, A-L-L, all people, and it teaches us something. It's not just something that we just take and it doesn't change us. This is something that teaches us something. He says, and it teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions. That part of following Jesus is learning to say no to some things that maybe you used to say yes to. Maybe in my old life that this was part of my life and it just seemed like the normal thing and the ways that everybody was doing it. But following Jesus is a grace that God has given us that brings salvation to us, but it also teaches us that we learn to say no to things that make us ungodly, to things that are worldly passions. It teaches us to live a self-controlled life. It teaches us to live an upright and godly life in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. He said, man, we're learning every day. We're not perfect, but we're learning every day to say no to the things we don't need to and say yes to the things that we do. And we continue to learn and we're waiting. We know that, hey, he's coming back. We don't know when he's coming back, but he's coming back for that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. who gave himself for us to redeem us from all unwickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, and here it is, that are eager to do what is good. You know what service is? It's somebody that's eager to do something good. You look on down in chapter 3 and he talks about remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, you know, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. I think about, you know, the first part of this, I think, man, in the political season and the ways that things kind of have turned and been, and you see so many things that are of a negative way. And I think, you know, as God's people, we ought to look at situations and say, hey, I've got to make the best decision that I can with what we have. But as a citizen of this country, I need to participate in what I'm called to do as a citizen. And so I think about that, and I make the best choice that I can based upon what I think leads me in the way that God would want me to go. And so I look at this and I'm saying, as I look at that, I'm saying, people, we're subject to those that are in our rule and our authorities. We may not agree with them. We may not approve of things that they've done or do. But he says, this is who we are. We're called to be peaceable and considerate and to be gentle toward everyone. He says, at one time you were foolish and disobedient. You were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, lived in malice and envy, and you hated one another. There's one you don't get a one another on in a class very often, hating one another, my old life. But when the kindness and the love of God appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us generously through Jesus our Savior. You hear that verbiage, the washing and the rebirth? It kind of takes you back to John chapter 3 when he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Chapter 3 verse 5. And it's that same imagery you hear in Peter in Acts chapter 2 when he's talking to them about what shall we do? And he says, you must repent and you must be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? The washing, baptism, the renewal, the forgiveness of sins, and the giving of the Spirit. It's not anything different from John to Acts, now to Titus chapter 3, when he says, you've received this generously through Jesus our Lord, and you have been justified by his grace, that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And here's a trustworthy saying, I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. You remember Paul would write to the Galatian church when he talks about don't become weary in doing good. Man, whatever. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. And he says, let's keep on doing good, because in due season we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. And the last part of that passage says this, that we are to do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. What an incredible challenge for us. Incredible challenge. I heard this past week that the antidote to selfishness is service. Sin's greatest hold on our heart from the very start was selfishness. Go back to the garden, you see it, Adam and Eve. You can be just like God. I want that. I don't have that. Give me that. You see that in any sin that is driven in our heart, it starts with the issue of selfishness. We need to move from selfishness into serving. And from serving, because serving is something we do. But when we serve and it becomes part of our DNA, it becomes who we are. And so it's no longer about me serving. It's this is who I am as a servant of Jesus Christ. See, it's possible for me to serve other people and not be a servant of Christ. I want to become so it's so ingrained in who I am and how can I serve someone that it's no longer just an action, it's a being. It's a person. And so we need to move from selfishness to serving, then serving to a servant. Serving is something you do. Being a servant is something you are. I thought about it when I read this story. It was the end of World War II, and this soldier in Europe, much of Europe and Germany had been decimated by the bombing. As a result, a lot of the social structures that were there in those major cities were undone, and many orphans roamed the streets, both in Berlin and in London. And there was an American soldier there one afternoon. He came across a young orphan boy staring into the window, watching a baker knead the dough. He was getting ready there to make these donuts that were displayed throughout the windows. And the little boy just stared and stared. And the soldier, as he walked by, could see the little boy. And knowing the situation, he just looked over and he asked the young boy, he said, "Son, would you like one of those donuts?" And he said, "Sir, would I ever." So the soldier went in and he got a box of donuts, a dozen donuts, and he came it out and he carried it to the little boy. The little boy looked back up at the soldier and said, "Mister, are you God?" You see, what happens when we serve other people is those that we serve are given a glimpse of God. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 16, where he said, "Let your lights shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven"? You see, that's what I want us as a family to be about, to serve one another. A few months back, maybe even as much as a year back, on this wall, we had an occasion where we had given out cards, and we said, just write down on this card something that you need. We called it the needs wall. And for a while, they stayed up there and they were stuck. And there were different things. There were things from the seriousness of someone struggling with an affair that was going on and trying to forgive, someone else going through this with anxiety, someone else going through this with sobriety, somebody else praying, "Hey, can you talk to me?" Somebody else could go to the store or come by the house and put in a light bulb or just sit with me on my porch. Prayer for selfishness. A prayer for climbing a ladder and doing something in my yard. Something could have been a prayer. It could have been something that you're sitting there thinking, I need help with this. I just don't know who to ask. And the way we wanted to do it was we said, put your phone number on the back. And if it's a specific thing for the female, just write female on it, lady or male, you know, whatever. But stick it on the wall. And in the back of the room, we've recreated that. And maybe today, maybe it doesn't have to be on the little cards that are back there, maybe something you've got. But I want you to let that become part of our of the nervous system of our body here that communicates between us needs that you have, things that you feel that others here could help with. It's just a blessing, and it's another way that we can learn to serve one another. I think when you serve, you are a blessing to the person you serve, but I think God has created it to be a reciprocal effect. That when you served, there is absolutely and certainly a blessing that comes back into your life because you see what it is that God really created you for. You understand this is what joy is about. It's about being able to serve and to give of yourself and to be able to reach out. And you realize the joy even that Jesus must see as he sees those who are looking for life and hoping for a new beginning, and he sees them go, I need you to serve my life that way. I need to confess that I believe you are who you said you were. I want to be buried with Christ and my sins washed away. I want to be a new creation that's living a different life. And I have to think that as we receive the blessing from Jesus, that Jesus goes, you know, that's a blessing for me. That's a blessing for me when I see people willing to follow me and live for me and start serving others on my behalf. This morning, I want to challenge you to serve one another. Keep on serving the Lord, but you can't really serve the Lord unless you serve others. If there's a way we can serve you this morning through prayer, we'll be down front. You can pray with us. You can pray with one of our elders, our shepherds. It'll be out on the corner edges of the room on the walls. And maybe the opportunity is today that we could serve you through helping you obey the gospel, to put on Christ in baptism, to start your new life with Him. If there's any way we can be a blessing to you today, we want to do that as we stand and as we sing.